Hello and welcome back to the channel and another video. Long time no see for everyone that, well, all 198 that subscribe, and long time no see to you as well. Yeah, I know. Yeah, we did quite well before obviously stop start. But Mr. Tom Batchford, how are you doing, my friend?
Ah, I'm all right. You know, getting on with it, ain't I?
Yes,
as like usual. Everybody.
Yeah, the world's a tough place, but we're getting on with it.
The world is tough, but the Premier League starts next weekend, so
at least that's something. It can only get better. Exactly. So basically, we do these every year. We normally do them earlier, but we've had so much going on, especially me. I'm not gonna throw you under the bus, Tom. I'll throw myself under it. I've had a lot going on, so that's why we haven't done it. And to be fair, when we did this last year, we already had three players in. We're doing it this year. We've only got one. So,
We haven't done. We forgot to do, or we couldn't be bothered, or we were too busy to do our review of the last season.
If Arsenal aren't active, then why should me and you be active? That's the reason.
You know.
But going into it, this is obviously, so it's an Arsenal season review of the last season just gone. And then we're just going to do a bit of previewing and a bit of here and there for next season. So, Tom, just straight into it, because everybody's heard my opinions. You know, I'm a bit of the whore, as they say, of the Arsenal podcast. I go around and do ones here, there and everywhere. So everyone's basically here to hear what you've got to think instead of me, and I'll chip in every now and then like I do. But let's just go straight
into it. Extremely poor video.
Let's just go straight into it, Tom. So first and foremost, in case people have forgotten, what were your expectations at the start of the season for Arsenal, and how well did Arsenal meet them?
I think I predicted us to win the league, but more because we had to win the league. I said we had to win the league because we had improved and City had got worse.
If you spend £105 million on a player, you have to win the league. Yeah. That was pretty much what we both said.
So it's an awkward one because we didn't win the league, which maybe we should have done. But then it's that City team. But also, we basically had like one of the best seasons we've ever had. Most wins, most goals. Is it most clean sheets?
Most clean sheets.
So it's like the best season we've ever had, but we still didn't win the league. I don't know what more you can do. I know people throw out, "Oh, you bottled it," but it's, you know, you lose games, didn't you? You lose games. You can't win every game. You can't go undefeated all season. Oh wait, no, we can. That's difficult, isn't it? Oh yeah, it's really difficult, that. Do you know what, mate? I'm just happy to be enjoying watching Arsenal again, because it was an absolute torrid, what was it? Probably 15 years. It's a horrendous 15 years, really. Yeah. And it just got worse. Then it got even worse under Arteta, and now it's getting a lot better. So I don't think winning trophies and the league, everything, as long as you enjoy the ride. As I enjoyed watching us, I had a good time in the season. And just go, do you know what? I don't think there was much more we could have done.
Yeah, I think now, looking at it, I think definitely this season coming up, and obviously we'll go into that a bit more later, I think we've got to win something. You know, you've got four competitions that you're in. Again, you know, I think that this year we didn't necessarily take the cups as seriously as we should have. And okay, the Champions League, I'll say, to get to the quarters, was it, on our first try in five, six seasons? That's nothing to be sniffed at. But I think now we've got to do a lot better on all four fronts, and not just, I still think that we prioritised the league over everything else last year, which haven't got a problem with, you know, out of all of them that you want to win at the start of the season, you have to say the league, don't you, really? The rest are all, you know, it can be luck of the draw. It can be, you know, not. I don't necessarily think always the best team end up winning the Champions League, but it's, you know, how lucky you get on the day and within the draw and everything else like that. You know, I think what was it? Chelsea finished seventh or eighth. I mean, Chelsea finished seventh or eighth that year, didn't they? And then they ended up winning the Champions. I wouldn't have said they were the best team in Europe at that time, but they did win the Champions League. So, you know, it's one of them. But
yeah, I think especially like, you know, the cup competitions last season. What was the? Did we get knocked out by City in the League Cup? Was that the season before? Who did we get knocked out by the
season before? It was West Ham, wasn't it? We went to West Ham away, and they absolutely slapped us with Kudus and Bowen. Yeah. And then the FA Cup draw, we got Liverpool the first time, which it wasn't great, but I mean they played a lot of they didn't really play first team as that game really.
We battered them. From what I remember, we battered them in that game.
We just couldn't score. Yes. Yeah. Nelson should have put us 1-0 up in like a minute and a half, but he left it.
Obviously Champions League. I can't remember exactly why I was so annoyed with Arteta in the Champions League, but I was. I think maybe I was annoyed at how negative. He wasn't very positive with his substitutions, I think it was. He was sort of like for like rather than trying to actually win the game and stuff. Very late with his subs, which I think is an issue all the time, to be honest. I think he does do that, but you know, we'll see this. We'll see, won't we?
Yeah, I mean, that was leading into one of my next questions was, were there any matches that you feel that Arsenal underperformed in and what do you think went wrong in them?
Well, it was just them two games, wasn't it? Fulham and West Ham.
Yeah, we lost to Fulham away just before New Year, or it might have been New Year's Day. And then right after that, we had West Ham at home. And we were diabolical in both of those games. I mean, most of the time, the big thing that I can point at was that those were games that I think it was seven or eight of them that we didn't get a result in were him putting Havertz as the eight again.
Yeah.
And I think from the start, he should have always been a centre forward. I think, but we learnt that a bit too late.
Yeah, we started the season quite slowly, it felt like. I think maybe the Fulham game at the start, the home game where we drew two, didn't they? Had 10 men, didn't they? They had 10 men and they scored
a long time
and made it. Yeah, so I mean, so what if we just held on to that? If we just held on to that win, we would have won the league. Do you know what I mean? That's how tight it was. I think that's the game that killed us, really. I think you can lose to West Ham and you can lose to these teams, especially. You think that people think you have to win every single game. If you lose a game, you're the worst team in the league. You just lose one game. But I think you know, Mark Goldbridge has been touching on it. Is it back in the past, in the old 20 years ago, you'd go and lose to Nottingham Forest. They'd be like, oh, the title race is going on. Then you'd expect that. But now it's just you expect to win. You expect Arsenal and City and Liverpool to win every single game. As soon as they don't, then you get jumped on, didn't you? I think definitely the Fulham games.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking back years and years ago, and I want to say it was either, I think it was 2001, 2002 double year, and I want to say that we played Charlton at home, and I think we lost like 5-2. I think Lisby and Jason Yule just absolutely... And was it like Sean Bartlett or whatever his name was, I think was playing for it. They just absolutely obliterated. I was like, what are we doing? We are losing 5-2 to Charlton. I was like, what are we doing? And then, we still go and win the double anyway. So, yeah, you are right. I think it's the case of, you know, Man City are just so perfect that when you do lose, it hurts more losing a game now because of how good everybody else is around you.
You can't even draw games, can you?
No.
I don't know. Is it City perfect, or do people just can't be arsed when they play City?
This is a good debate, which I was going to save until we probably do our season predictions video if we do that. But we'll do it now. We'll throw it into there now. We're riffing, as they say. I think that a lot of people go, we're probably beaten already. Yeah. Before a ball's even kicked, they're like, look, just don't get embarrassed.
Yeah.
Don't let Haaland score five, or don't let this one get, you know, don't let Foden get a hat-trick. Don't let Doku get a hat-trick or whatever. You're trying your best. But I think now, with everything that's gone on, with the charges and everything else, I think this season coming up, a lot of people... Because really, I don't think a lot of clubs hate them, because everyone's just like, well, we don't really care about Man City. Like, I don't really... It's a bit like in my friendship circle, and, you know, we have the same sort of friendship circle. We got a lot of people, you know, we're all friends here. Everyone's like, I don't really care if Man City win the league because I don't know anyone who supports Man City.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're always like, oh, no, I don't want it. Oh, if you were Batchford win the league, or Harvey, oh, we would never hear the end of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or we've all got that one annoying Chelsea friend who never shuts up.
Yeah, yeah.
We all hate Man United because we were brought up through the 90s. So
yeah,
everyone just hates Liverpool because everyone hates Liverpool. So, you know, it's one of them things, isn't it, where just Man City, just nobody knows. You know, if we were to have kids, it will be that generation. Because I've seen it where we live, Tom. There's the front of JJB's in Chelmsford's got a Haaland shirt on it, or a De Bruyne top on
it.
So they're becoming the Man United of the 90s now. So the next generation, they'll be, oh, we all hate Man City. But us lot.
Hopefully.
We don't.
If they don't get relegated.
One who sits behind me at work that supports Man City, and he's a lovely guy. He doesn't gloat about it. You know, he's not that way inclined. But
yeah.
I don't know any of them. I don't know anyone who supports Man City.
I genuinely have never met a Man City fan. Genuinely. But yeah. I think the thing is as well, is that like with the teams, that like City have no history. So these teams have no like, oh, we need to beat City because this happened in 15 years ago. Oh, we had this game. Like us with Stoke. Like we had a rivalry with Stoke for no reason. No one has that. No one cares. No one has, like, oh, in 1972, there was this game with City. They got, there's no hit. And it's, I don't want to turn it into like a, you know, slagging off City, but I think that is just the facts. I think of it from my point of view. And I think if I was playing for like Nottingham Forest or something, and it was the start of the season where you're not desperate for points, and I'm going to City away, I'd be like, I really can't be arsed. Because I'm just going to have to run about a lot. And I just can't be bothered. I mean, you know, obviously that's to do with how good they are at keeping the ball. But I'll just be like, oh. And like you said, you're beaten before you get onto the pitch because you're like, I can't be bothered. Like, I know I'm probably going to lose anyway, so why bother wasting my time running about?
Yeah. Yeah, because like you said, they are going to keep the ball when it's, you've got to chase it and get it back. So
even us, there's like games where I'm watching them and I'm like, this doesn't happen to City. Even against any team for us, there'd be like 10 or 15 minutes where we couldn't get the ball and we're like defending on the edge of our box against anyone. And like, that just doesn't happen to City.
Yeah. I think again, it's, and again, you know, we're doing it right now. We're part of it, but we've got a large community of obviously podcasts, YouTube channels, et cetera, et cetera. And I think a lot of these clubs, their fans like to watch Arsenal content because we have got a select few amount of people that just react in really silly ways and they find it funny.
Yeah.
And I think that goes into the players as well. I think some of the players, probably for these opposition teams, as much as they want to help their own team, I think there's some of it that's like, well, I'd like to go to Arsenal, score against Arsenal, turn on my YouTube when I get in and watch bloody Ty or whoever have a meltdown about it.
Do you know what I mean?
You can't tell me Neil Mopay doesn't want to score against Arsenal just to turn on his Arsenal Fan TV later on in the night.
That's true as well. I just think I don't know if they've even got fan. Have they got podcast? I know, like I could tell you, probably not the names, but I've seen loads of, you know, Chelsea content and United content creators, obviously Arsenal ones, even like Spurs ones. I could not tell you a single Man City.
And we're back again. I did mention to Tom before that we could be disturbed through this recording slam. So we're back now. So Tom, let's just move on to the next topic because we can't really remember what we talked about about 10 minutes ago.
We can't remember what we were talking about before.
Because that's what we do here. Let's get it back on Arsenal because I know we were talking about all the other clubs, but let's get back on Arsenal topic. Tom, season just gone. Who was your player of the season and why, please?
You know, I like to go controversial with these most of the time.
I do. That's why I like asking you.
Rob Holding 2 seasons ago.
Yeah.
Was it two seasons ago? I went for Rob Holding. Was it only two?
I want to say three. Because 2 seasons ago would have been when he got sent off against Spurs and you were like, oh, he's got to go now, as much as I love him. You wouldn't have picked him as player of the season that year when he got sent off and cost us that Spurs game.
It still sounds like something I would do.
Yeah, it does, yeah. But no, I don't think. But you've had Rob Holding, and then I think 2 years in a row you've done with me and gone with Odegaard.
I didn't do Xhaka the season before.
I think you did. Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did Odegaard with me 1 year, and then Xhaka the year after that. Yeah, you did. You did do Granit Xhaka.
Holding before that, then.
last season you picked Granit Xhaka. Yeah, I remember that much.
Yeah. It's difficult player of the season because I think there's so many players that had a good season. It's between two for me. I think I'm going to have to go with Benny Blanco. Ben White.
Oh, wow. Yeah, nice choice. Good choice.
Go with Ben White. I think he was... I just think he was incredible. I don't think he had a bad game all season. He's just solid. I enjoy watching him. And I just think... people didn't like him, you know. People were... They're like, oh, he's a rubbish right back. He's nowhere. And then they got annoyed when he turned down the chance to play for England because they wanted him in the England team. They go, you rate him now, do you? I just think he was our best. I do genuinely think he was. He wasn't our best player, but I think for me, like, he had a really good season. Obviously, you know, Saka had a really good season. I mean, people said he had a poor season. Saka had a poor season, but he still got, what, like 30 odd goal involvements? That's a bad season, is it? Obviously, I love Odegaard, Havertz. You know, I love Havertz. I was always on his side. Rice was incredible all season. Even like Jorginho. I think Jorginho had a really good season. But a really close second for me was Gabriel. I think Gabriel had a really good season. I think... Saliba's the better centre-back, but Gabriel had a better season last. I think really that's Saliba suffering from success, you know, doing a DJ Khaled. And it was just, that's just Saliba, isn't it? He just does that. Whereas we're a bit surprised by Gabriel. And I think that's the best pairing in the league, definitely. There were some
games last season where I think Gabriel pulled Saliba through. And in that first year, it was Saliba basically bailing out Gabriel a lot. But I think not necessarily. I don't like saying second season syndrome, but there was a slight drop off in Saliba after Christmas, I think. And Gabriel really, I think Gabriel was much better in a lot of the games that we had.
Yeah, I mean, I think Saliba was incredible last season. Personally,
he's just
slick. But I think, Gabriel, I think there's a lot of times when he was the one. I just feel like I remember more occasions when he was the one putting his body on the line, getting in front of stuff, and he was just loving it. I think Ben White, I think he had an incredible season. But even like Raya, you know, people criticise Raya, but like he didn't do anything wrong. He didn't do anything. I don't think he did anything wrong. He might have made some dodgy... we could have saved it, but he's not a tall goalkeeper, but he's got like the highest crosses claimed in by a long way as well, by a long, long way. And that's why Arteta likes him, because he'll come and claim a cross and chuck it out quickly, which is what Ramsdale doesn't do. Ramsdale doesn't claim a cross and throw it out quickly. He ponders on it a bit too long, whereas Raya just gets rid of it. So I think Ben White, player of the season. Gabriel probably second, and then probably Odegaard third place for me.
Yeah, so obviously people have heard my opinion. I'll say it again in case they haven't, but I picked Martin Odegaard. I just looked at him and was just like, this guy, And he's still got people that don't rate him or don't like him. It baffles me, Tom. I literally think that it's daylight robbery what we did to Real Madrid to get this guy.
I can't believe
how cheap he was and just how good he is. And even, you know, he's even better than he was when we first signed him.
Oh, he's incredible. Arsenal fans didn't want him. We had him on loan and people were like, nah, what are we buying him for? I was like, you've not watched him play for half the season. Like, what are you talking about? He was incredible. He's been so good ever since we had him online.
Yeah, and do you know what I like as well? He's the first captain probably since, you know, even Mertesacker and to some extent even Arteta that I actually like them. Like, obviously, Aubameyang and that had his moments, but I was just like, yeah, but you've just got the armband to, I think, just to appease you and to keep you to stay. But he was never really the captain. Yeah. If you remember, we'd lose games in that when it was, like you said, the torrid times. And bloody Smith Rowe and Saka would do the interview because Aubameyang couldn't be bothered. Or he just didn't want to, you know, he just didn't want to take the criticism. Martin Odegaard, win, loss or draw, normally 9 times out of 10, he's the one that stands there and takes the accountability for it. Do you know what I mean? I generally think he actually loves the fans, loves the club and everything else. And I'm quite happy that he's the... you know, he's the representation for this club and my captain. But moving on just quickly as well, Tom, what was your goal of the season? If you can, pick one out, if there was one that stands out in your mind.
What was the one? It was a Saka goal. Yeah, I think it was at the start of the season.
Oh, Nottingham Forest, the very first game. Yeah.
Was it that one? He cut inside and absolutely smashed it top corner.
Yeah, it was literally the first game of the season. Yeah.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I can't think of really many others.
So mine that I
part of our issue is shooting from outside the box, isn't it?
Well, mine that I picked was Declan Rice's versus West Ham away.
Oh,
One just because it was him against West Ham. So it annoyed everybody that I know that supports West Ham. But two, it was just a great goal. It was absolute, like you said, outside the box, bang, have that.
And even his goal against Chelsea, that was a great goal.
Yeah. I mean, there was part of me when I was thinking about it that was like, is it the first Havertz one against Chelsea at home where he like rifled it in the top? He's done Cucurella and then he just smashed it into the. Oh, I can't remember if that was his second one. I think it was his first one. But yeah, he absolutely, he sends Cucurella for a Mars bar and then just smashes it into the. That one was a really good goal as well. But yeah, okay, no, that's good. Good choice, Saka. To be fair, that Saka one, probably, you know, on paper probably was the best. But Tom, again, another one. Who was your most improved player of the season? I picked Havertz for this.
What does that count?
Yeah,
if they improve throughout the season or they improve from the season before,
you could, mate, there's no rules here, you can say what you want. But for me, I picked Havertz from the point of view of, and again, I'm going from first game that I watched live was 96, but I remember some Arsenal games before that, watching them on the telly and everything with my family and stuff. But I've not seen in the whole time that I've been watching. Someone that from the start of the season was like that to ending the season to being, you know, he went from being someone that was like, oh, for God's sake, why? To this guy's one of my favourite players.
I think it's hard to choose anyone else, really.
Yeah.
He was like, he was getting stick from absolutely everywhere.
Mm.
All the Chelsea fans celebrating that he'd gone, even though they'd spent like, 3 seasons saying how he was the best player in the world. I suppose you know, obviously Gabriel. I think Gabriel improved a lot. So I can't even think he was playing left back for us at the end of the season. Who was our left back at the end of the season?
Probably Zinchenko, wasn't it?
No, he weren't playing, was he?
Or Tommy Asu
playing left back for us?
Tommy Asu.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, must have. I actually can't remember who was playing left back for us.
A lot of people on the other shows that I did, a lot of them said Trossard for this one.
Yeah, I did think about, he did pop up in my head about most improved, but I don't know, most improved. I think you have to say Havertz. But yeah, Trossard had a really... He sort of... I don't know if he improved or Martinelli just had a bad season. So Trossard got more game time. Mm. I think maybe he was just doing it because he's done it since he started. He's signed for it, hasn't he, Trossard, really? That's what he does. Yeah. I think he just got more game time last season.
And then last one is who was your unsung hero of the season?
Unsung hero. Do you know what? I genuinely, Jorginho. I genuinely think he played most of the games. He played most of the games all season because obviously Partey was injured and, you know, Havertz in midfield didn't work. So Jorginho came in and, you know, it was sort of from when he came in, that's when we looked like a real, real good team. The only mistake I remember him making is against Spurs at the start of the season. I think he gave the ball away.
Yep.
But I think, yeah, no one talks about him. I don't think he gets much praise, but I think he does a really good job for us. And I think, I'm going to say Jorginho. There you go.
Yeah, for me, just on Jorginho, I think when we played the big games against the big sides, he always put Jorginho in. Arteta was like, got to have Jorginho in there. And yeah, you're right. He's very, very. I had reservations when he come in because I was worried about obviously the age and then coming from Chelsea as well. I was like, oh, we never get good signings from Chelsea. And like Havertz, he's proved me wrong. I've been quite, you know, I worry about Jorginho potentially in the next season because the mobility is just depleting. But at the same point, him compared to Thomas, I mean, just going off pre-season, he looks like he can run faster than Thomas Partey.
Now,
Thomas Partey looks absolutely abysmal. I hate to say it, he really does. But yeah, on the unsung hero one, I went for David Raya. So that's who I picked.
He was in my mind because again, he's just one. He gets a bit of stick, but he doesn't do anything wrong.
Nope.
But I think on Jorginho as well, I think having Rice there really helped him. Because Rice, he could just run all day. He doesn't look like he can run all day, but he can. He looks knackered from like the first minute that he can run all day. And I think having that extra bit of mobility next to Jorginho has really helped him. I think he Jorginho will play the ball, but you just let him get on with it. He doesn't want to do anything particularly spectacular.
Exactly. So this is the main fun bit that obviously people like to tune in for, Tom. So just starting off with, obviously, we've got David Raya now permanently. Are you happy that that's been done?
Yeah, I think cool. So.
Yeah. And then, obviously, I'm not going to ask you because I know that potentially you probably do not watch a bunch of Serie A. But are you happy with the Calafiori signing? I'm happy from the point of view. I'm happy from the point of view of I watched Bologna 3 times last season.
Yeah,
he wasn't the one that stood out for me. It was actually Xerxes was the one that I was watching, going, "Well, you're quite a good player, actually." But just on purely aesthetics, you said earlier that we've got the best centre back partnership in the. I think we've got the best looking back four in the league, possibly the world.
God, yeah.
If they four start, and I'm saying this as a very, very heterosexual man.
Yeah.
They are four good-looking lads.
I mean, yeah.
If they can play half as good as they look, then
we wouldn't concede a goal.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's that back four, that good-looking back four led by the captain, Martin Ødegaard. I mean, you know, give us like 10 points just for that. Best-looking team.
But, so they're the two that are in. So, Tom, I'll quickly go through this with you. If you could sell, you know, Mikel Arteta and Edward rang you up. They're gone, Tom, we're stuck. They're like, help us out, Tom. Who's going? Who are you selling? Who's going in the bin, Tom? I'll let you off that Lokonga and Tavares, they're already out. So, yeah. And Smith Rowe's already gone. That's a good point to start with. Would you have sold Smith Rowe?
I think so. I think as much as Arsenal fans, we love Smith Rowe. I think he's just made of glass, wouldn't he? He wasn't good enough to get in the team last season. When he does play, he does pick up injuries. I think for the financial reasons, it's pure profit because he's academy or whatever. I think it's a good deal. It's a very good deal for Fulham. I think it had to be done, really. But I'd rather watch him playing for Fulham than watch him sat on the bench at Arsenal, I think.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I think it's a good deal for us as well. 35 million for a player that barely plays. That's the highest ever transfer. I think that's a remarkable bit of business.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it had to be done. It had to be done.
Obviously, I've forgotten as well. I can't believe I've forgotten him because what a player. But Elneny, now there's no point asking because you wouldn't have sold him. He'd have had a contract for life for you, wouldn't he? So
I would have just had him around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We just like having Elneny there. But no, moving on to it now properly. Who's going, Tom? Who do you want to get rid of if you can?
Partey. I would sell Partey. I'd ship him off to Saudi Arabia. I think I really like Ramsdale, but I think you could get a good bit of money for him. We could get our money back for him. I think he's still worth that, maybe a bit more. I think he's probably gone up in value. I think it really, I don't know about Zinchenko. I feel like I would. I know a lot of people would get rid of him, but I think I would keep him because I think he's a good, decent squad player. I think Kirior. I think with Calafiori coming in, there's no space for him. Get rid of him. Obviously, Nketiah, Nelson, they're linked to be going anyway. I think they will be gone. But I think definitely them too. And again, that'll be the PSR, whatever. That's money straight profit. So we could make 100 mil just pure profit. Which would be decent for any club. I think that's about it, really. Can't really think of any, apart from like the ones that are really on the fringes of the team. I can't. That's the players that played a part last season. Especially Nketiah. He shouldn't be given the opportunity to even be an option. I'm sick of it.
Would you get rid of Vieira? Because that's a name that's obviously come up a few times with people.
I think he did all right, didn't he? Because when Havertz was playing in the midfield, which was going wrong, Vieira came in and Havertz got dropped and he did really well. But then he picked up an injury and sort of missed the rest of the season.
Yeah, and he got that sending off, didn't he? And Arteta got really angry with him as well.
I think he he definitely deserves another season. So I think it's probably too much of a loss as well at the minute. He's probably not going to be worth.
Where do you think he's worth too much, is he? Yeah, where do you think he plays, Tom? If he stays for another year, because for me now, his position, which is basically either the understudy to Odegaard or the understudy to whoever is the other, I'd say at the moment Rice will be that eight, but we don't know. We'll touch on that in a minute. But that spare, eight on either Rice's side or the backup to Odegaard now for me has to be Nanweary. I've seen, from what I've seen of Nanweary, even in last preseason, added to this preseason, for me, he's ready and has to play. And I would rather him get the minutes than Vieira get the minutes. I mean, they've tried Vieira as a winger in Saka, where Saka plays, but I don't think he's strong enough to be. Saka gets absolutely mullered out there because they normally put two or three on him. But I'm like, if you ask Vieira to do that in the league, I mean, Saka gets walloped and gets straight back up. I can see Vieira get, unless he bulks up or he's got something in him that we've never seen before, I can see him getting really, I can see him getting hurt, mate. I can see him getting injured for a significant amount of time because I just don't think he's strong enough to play as a wide player.
Yeah. Yeah, but I certainly wouldn't put him wide. But so I do think, like as a squad player, I think he's good to have a route. You know, Carabao Cup, FA Cup.
Yeah.
And even, like I say, it'd either be between him and Anweri is like, you know, if we need a goal or something, you know, he'd be the one that you'd either take Jorginho or Rice off or whatever. You put him on and have the two attacking midfielders. That's sort of what I'd be looking at him for, is in that midfield. But, you know, he don't get in the team. But you do need, you need the squad players. If people are happy being squad players and they're half decent, then you've got to keep them around.
Yeah. Yeah, no, good points. And then lastly, before we obviously shoot off, who are you buying, Tom? Like, let's just, again, the big what-if game, but, you know, Mikel and Edu ring you up. Tom, we need help here.
Yeah.
Because when I did this, obviously me and Jack on the Purely Arsenal, we love all this transfer stuff, and we did quite a big show. I will throw my hands up in the air. I got it all wrong, Tom. who I thought we were going to buy and why. Completely wrong. But the positions still stand for me. But the players are obviously going to be different. So just obviously, because I'm guessing you didn't listen to it. Not a problem if you haven't. but I was so...
I had it on in the background.
I was confident that we were going to get Sesko.
Yeah.
I said that we're going to get a six. And I reckon it would probably be... I said, I'm hoping it's Onana. But, you know, that went, and if not Onana, then I reckon potentially we'll probably get Zubimendi. Again, both of them completely wrong. I said about getting a backup goalkeeper because obviously Ramsdale's going to leave. And I said that we're going to buy a left back, which we've done. I didn't think that it would be as expensive as the one we have bought, but I said that we would buy a left back. And then I also said we're either going to buy a winger or a centre forward. So that's still up in the air. But what about you? Have you got positions of players in mind that you think we should go for?
So I feel like, I'm happy with Havertz up front. I love Havertz. Yeah. I'm happy with Havertz.
But do you think he's enough?
I feel like...
Do you think he'd score enough
goals? I think him and Jesus are enough.
Okay.
To be honest, I think if you... with the confidence that he's probably built up now, like Havertz, I think starting at the season at centre forward, and I think you'd probably see. I mean, we got a good return from him last season, and he was awful for half of it. So I'd like to see him, you know, confident and knowing where he's playing from the start of the season. I would like a winger. I do feel like a left winger. I know we've got Trossard and Martinelli. We also need backup for Saka, really. But then Jesus, you know, he can play out wide. Obviously, Nico, we've been linked with Nico Williams. I absolutely love him, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think a holding midfielder, really. I think a holding midfielder is important. We've got enough defenders. Like, I'm bored of that now. So obviously, you know, when we spoke about it before, I said Camavinga. But I'd absolutely love Camavinga. Because Real Madrid, they signed a midfielder. Did they sign a midfielder, or they were linked? I think they were going to get Bruno G or something. They were linked with him, weren't they?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, they've already signed Mbappe, which makes me think they're definitely selling somebody to make that up. But then, I don't believe they've got Alphonso Davies yet, but they're still linked to him, aren't they?
Mm.
So that makes me think...
Camavinga was playing for France in midfield, wasn't he?
Yeah, but I'm like, if he's not there... If they sign Alphonso Davies, that probably means that Camavinga's not going to be used as a left-back, which is where he's been playing a lot for Real Madrid, as well as playing in midfield. But yeah, oh, mate. Yeah, I'm with you. If Camavinga is on the market and Arsenal do not go in for him, then we are idiots, because He fits one. He fits the bill because he's a very, very good footballer. But also, he's a good looking. You know, he's got a lovely set of hair. Again,
yeah.
He fits the good looking quota. So,
was it? I said him because he could play like holding mid, and he was like he could play left back. So I thought he'd be ideal. Obviously, we signed a left back now. We've obviously got Calafiori, and obviously we're linked with heavily linked with that Marino.
Who looks a decent player. He's not necessarily a number six. He's predominantly playing.
That's the thing.
But that makes me think: are you going to put Rice back at six again? Because I don't think, as much as I know he can do it, I think he's better further up.
Yeah, I do wonder if it will just be if we sign Marino. I could see him playing Rice with Marino, and just be like, look, be sensible. If we're building down the right, I should, you know, Marino, whoever it is, you're on the right side of centre mid, you go forward and Rice tuck it, you know, cover him. If it's the other side, Rice go, you know, surely you got a, that's how they played 4-4-2 back in the day. They didn't have a holding midfielder back then. We just got this thing where you need a holding
pivot
midfielder.
Or whatever they call it.
Yeah. I think they could play together, and especially the way we play is, you know, Calafiori will, you know, our fullbacks move into midfield. So like they, you know, they like having the box there, don't they? So you have the two centre backs and the fullbacks are basically in front of them. But obviously, I suppose as well, Timber, like, where do you think Timber's going to be? Could he play centre mid? Could he play as six?
Well, this is it. Is that I've seen a lot of people online say that put Ben White as six and put Timber at right back, and then you've got Timber, Saliba, Gabriel Calafiori. I'm like, there's all these interesting theory. I don't believe that's going to... I look at Timber and think you're probably still going to have your minutes managed with your ACL. You're going to be right back or left back in some games, but not all the games. Mm. So I think it's a bit like, you know, I hate mentioning them. It feels like we've mentioned them a lot. But with Man City, they can chop and change for all the competitions, but the level doesn't drop. I think that's what we're trying to do. So it's like, it's just as good as our first 11 is. Because that's the thing with Arsenal, like you said earlier, especially with Mikel when he substitutes. It's not necessarily there's a plan B. It's plan A, but with different players. And I think I'm like, well, if you're going to do that, then you need to make sure that your plan A, the quality doesn't drop. And I still fit. Yeah, I think that's what we're looking at doing is signing players that, does that quality just does not dip at all.
So who knows what he's going to do. I think I sort of thought Marino would be, you know, like a Rice backup, really. Mm. That's how I sort of see him, you know, play Rice. They sort of occupy the same position, really. So still need a six. Yeah. But who that could be, I don't really got no idea. I'd like, you know, if Real would just do have to sell someone, I'd be tempted of, you know, Tuamani or Camavinga, definitely.
Yeah. You said earlier a winger, Tom. If you could pluck a winger out of your head, which obviously you said Williams. Is he your main one, or do you think, is there any other?
He was just so good, wasn't he, at the Euros?
Yeah.
He was so good. But I think he's on like, I don't know if this is completely, but he's on something like €300 a week at Atletico Bilbao, because he's because they pay high wages, don't they? Because they're all Basque.
Yeah.
But Bilbao, they basically don't pay transfer fees, do they? So their players get really well paid.
Yeah.
I think I heard that he's on like 300. I don't know what that is in pound. Maybe £250,000 a week.
Mm.
But obviously, I feel like Barcelona are interested in him, but they haven't got any money.
Oh, Barcelona have got nothing, mate. Yeah.
Well, they owe Bordeaux £9 million. They're just waiting for Bordeaux to go out of business. They still owe them money. For Malcolm, I think it is as well.
Yes.
10 years ago. So I don't know. They've just bought Dani Olmo, haven't they, Barcelona?
Have they generally got him?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, fair enough. Because I was like, I thought that was still can't be done until this is done. That's the... Because they're gonna try and flog us, Rafinha and all them, but... I know a lot of them Barcelona boys are like, no, the contracts that we're on we're just happy sitting and like right. Like apparently Frankie de Jong's like, I don't want to leave. He's like, I'll take all my 350, 400 or whatever it is grand a week until my contract runs out. He's like, I don't care if you don't play me.
I would love Nico Williams.
Yeah.
Would have liked Pedro Neto, but just before we did this, started this, I saw on Twitter he's gone to Chelsea to whatever they're up to. I don't know what they're doing.
I'll throw this one at you. Now that Chelsea have got Neto.
Oh, yes. The answer is yes.
I was going to say, would you still take Mudryk?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a player in there. I know he's a bit of an idiot, but there is a player there, and Chelsea's just the wrong team for him. He didn't want to go there.
Yeah.
Anyway, he was begging for us. Yeah.
To be fair, if there's anyone that could turn him round.
It's just annoying, though. It's just, again, it's like, oh, Chelsea reject.
Yeah.
But if he comes good, it's all right. I think there is a player that he can score from outside the box. He can dribble. he's just a bit of a numpty. Everything about his game is actually really good.
Yeah,
I would take him. I mean, we wouldn't spend 90 million on him, so surely they obviously saw something in him.
Yeah,
that kind of changed that much.
Yeah, it's one of them as well where I think if it was a good price, and Mikel, I think Mikel in his head would be like, "Yeah, I can get you. I can do another Havertz for you."
Yeah.
I'm not trying to say he's egotistic, but it does stroke his ego a bit, doesn't it? You know, I'm the man that made him come good. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's that in there.
Oh yeah, he's loving it.
And I think that counts. Yeah, I think that counts. I really do. I think that's a big, big part of it.
Really. He's not worth any more. I think even if we paid 40 million for him, we'd get pelters. But I would pay 40 million. Especially, you know, we sold Smith Rowe for the pure profit. You go, right, that's in the. If you could sell Smith Rowe for, I know it's add-ons and stuff, but you know, it could go up to 34 million or whatever it is. If you sell Smith Rowe for pure profit and you buy Mudryk for 40, I'd do it.
Yeah.
Again, squad player.
I look at it as well, and I think to myself, okay, this Nketiah thing is such a, like, it's hurting my head how much of a mess of a situation this is. But if Nketiah does go, and then you want to get rid of Nelson as well, you've got to sign an attacking player.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it's just negligent to not have an attacking player.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm like, if them two move, who is it going to be? That's the thing. And
You say, Ed, I think he's got plans for Enwari, isn't he?
Oh yeah,
Enwari. I think he'll play more of a part. But I mean, I don't think Chelsea would sell him to us unless they're that desperate. Because I mean, they've spent. They are,
aren't they? That's the thing with them. They're absolutely mental, Tom. And the last 3 years, we've bought players off them. They've bought players. That's what you know. We've for some reason we've gone from not selling anybody to anyone to us and Chelsea, like being quite close. They are bonkers. I mean, that Todd Boehly is off his, he's off his head. I know we're getting off topic again. He is mental though. He is absolutely mental.
I get the feeling there's maybe a transfer ban coming their way that they're anticipating, which is why they're buying all these young players for the future because we better get them now because we won't be able to buy them for the next 3 seasons. Mm. I feel like there's probably something in the pipeline.
Probably.
Yeah, I'd love it if Mudryk came. I would be his biggest fan. I would be his biggest fan. Everyone would hate him.
You'll get that new Monsters, Inc. Sully Arsenal top with Mudryk on the back, wouldn't you?
I'd get the same haircut as him. Have you seen his hair? He's like shaved his hair off. Only Jesus can judge me or whatever he's got on his neck. I'd love it. Yeah. He would score. I guarantee he would play 5 games and it'd be awful. They'd score an absolute screamer. And then we'd love him.
Okay, so you're saying you want a six, and then either Williams or Mudryk would be the winger that you'd go for. It's bold, mate. To be fair, you this is why people like it when you come on, because you're bold. You're a bold man, and it's good, mate.
Oh, I don't get how people can't see that Mudryk's got something. Cannot see it.
I think people just look at it. He's a pace merchant that don't know what to do after, you know.
Yeah, but I love that. I love that.
So I can run all day, and then when I get to the box, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, but if he's got no idea what he's going to do, imagine how the defenders feel. They're like, oh God, like what is going to happen?
Ugh.
It's a bit like go get Adama Traore. Where's he? He's probably only got 5 mil. I don't know. We should have got him. We should have dropped Smith Rowe.
Yeah,
by five mil.
I think Smith Rowe's putting the baby oil on his arms, isn't he now?
He scored, did he, Smith Rowe?
Yeah,
like his first game for them.
It was a good goal as well.
Got it.
I'm telling you, man. Again, totally off topic. Him and Iwobi. If they stay fit, they're going to cook. They'll cook for Fulham, them two.
Yeah, yeah.
They'll have such a partnership, them two.
How old is Iwobi? He looks about 45. Is he still young?
He's got to be young. He's got to be younger than me. I know that much.
Yeah.
I'm 33 next month. He's definitely younger than me.
God.
Yeah, I know. Where's the time gone, eh? But yeah, in conclusion, Tom, is there anything else you want to add Arsenal-wise, either from last season or going into the next one?
Just come on, Arsenal.
Yeah.
We could do it. We could do it. If we don't do it, as long as we enjoy the season.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's your lot, everybody. I hope you've enjoyed it. And if you don't already, please subscribe and leave a like on the video, and we'll do some more. We'll get Tom on more, and we'll crack on.
This is like inverted, isn't it? This whatever we're using now. I'm not doing the wrong way.
Oh well, you're trying to point to your Twitter. Yeah, down there.
Oh no, I could do that. Look, that's difficult, that is.
Yeah. And they wanna follow you on it now before it gets banned. Elon's running his mouth, going a bit nuts, they're gonna shut it down eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what else is there to do? You can follow me on TikTok if you want.
Yeah. You still doing gritties on there, or is that?
Not recently, no.
No, but if you follow him, he will.
Yeah. If you follow me, you'll see my gritties from Switzerland last year.
Yeah.
What else? Not really.
World's highest gritty, was it?
Yeah, I've not seen anyone do a higher gritty than that.
Yeah.
I think it was about 4,000 metres above. That can't be right, 4,000 metres. Yeah. It's on a mountain with snow. That's quite high. Yeah. It's got to be the highest. And then I did the gritty in... was it Lake Byrne or something? One of them, one of them lakes.
Yeah.
So I'm probably the only person in the world to do that.
Yeah. Well, you're a man of culture, Tom. So.
Yeah. That's why I'm sat here on a beanbag.
Yeah. Ladder behind you, is it?
Huh?
Is it a ladder behind you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
that's all my DIY equipment.
Yeah. Brilliant.
There's a what's that? Nerf gun there.
Yep.
It's not real. Don't ban us.
Yeah.
Flies foam darts.
All right. But no, that's it. Thanks, everybody. And we will see you again soon. Hope you enjoyed it. Take care.